As of March 31st, 2017, the performance of the Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund institutional share class, ticker ANFIX, over the last 1 year was 8.92%. Since inception, ANFIX has delivered an annualized return of 2.19%. This compares to the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Aggregate Bond Index, which was up 0.44% and 2.03% over the same time periods. As of March 31, 2017, the subsidized and unsubsidized 30-day SEC yield for ANFIX were 4.85% and 4.41%, respectively. The subsidized yield reflects the fee waivers in effect. Without such waiver, the yield would be reduced. The unsubsidized yield does not reflect fee waivers in effect. The gross expense ratio of ANFIX is 1.28%. Current performance may be lower or higher than performance data quoted. Performance data is past performance and is no guarantee of future results. The investment return and principal value of an investment in the fund will fluctuate so that investors' shares, when redeemed, may be worth more or less than their original cost. Current performance to the most recent month's end can be obtained by calling 855-751-4324.
Welcome back to Angel Oak Capital's Portfolio Manager Insights podcast series. This is Randy Christman, Marketing Director at Angel Oak Capital Advisors. And in this podcast, we will provide an overview of the Flexible Income Fund, the fund's current opportunity set, and why it might make sense to have the fund as part of a fixed income portfolio. I will be speaking with Naveed Abgari, who serves as a portfolio manager for the Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund. Naveed primarily focuses on corporate credit across the firm's strategies. Naveed, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks, Randy.
What are the key features of your investment strategy?
The fund seeks to generate income and total return by actively allocating across a combination of fixed income asset classes that have the potential to produce superior risk-adjusted returns. With a focus on finding relative value opportunities, the fund has the flexibility to move among a broad range of assets, not only seeking excess returns, but also limiting the correlation to traditional fixed income.
Where are you finding the opportunities for your strategy today, and how do you plan to position the fund over the next 12 months?
Currently, we see community bank subordinated debt as one of the best relative value opportunities in the fixed income universe. If you think back to the last crisis, it was a function of over-leverage on the consumer balance sheet and the bank balance sheet. Since that time, we've seen a massive shift in how those two sectors operate, and it's mainly due to regulation. Whether it's Dodd-Frank, Basel regulatory capital requirements, or the Volcker Rule, banks are under unprecedented levels of regulation, which has resulted in much cleaner balance sheets. On the liability side of the balance sheet, banks on average have 30% more equity capital today than they did in 2007. On the asset side, regulators require banks to hold a certain amount of capital for each asset on their balance sheet, and the increasingly punitive treatment of riskier assets by regulators has constrained banks' ability to take these types of assets on balance sheet. The result is a strong reduction of non-performing assets. Now, if we take a step back and see how this compares to the broader corporate universe, you see a stark difference. Much of the easy money that has been injected into the economy by central banks across the world has trickled onto corporate balance sheets. Non-financial corporates have taken this low interest rate environment as an opportunity to re-lever their balance sheet through stock buybacks and debt-financed M&A activity. Average leverage for investment-grade corporates are now at all-time highs, higher than what was experienced in 2007 and higher than the early 2000s during the dot-com days. Not only do we think banks are fundamentally better positioned than the broader credit universe, but the yields we're able to achieve also contributes to the attractiveness of the opportunity. For comparison's sake, our average community bank debt is currently yielding north of 5.5% with a stated investment grade rating, whereas the average BB issuer currently yields about 4.5% according to the Bloomberg Barclays Corporate Bond Index. For all these reasons, we've been actively rebalancing the portfolio to be overweight community bank debt. We've increased our exposure to community banks from 20% at the beginning of 2016 to now close to 50%. Additionally, we've added 20% to the larger banks with a focus on the most liquid issues available. These banks have the same underlying fundamental drivers, with the main difference being less yield but more liquidity. That brings our total financials exposure to about 70% of the portfolio, with the goal to maintain a 65 to 75% allocation for the next 12 months, with a similar breakdown between community banks and larger money center banks. The remaining balance will be allocated amongst CLOs, CMBS, and cash, with allocations varying depending on market opportunity.
Can you explain the structure and history of the community bank subordinated debt market?
Sure, Andy. If you look at the evolution of capital instruments for community banks, historically banks have financed themselves through the use of deposits and equity capital. During the early 2000s, there was a new instrument called trust preferred securities that was introduced. Between 2000 and 2007, there was approximately $70 billion of trust preferred securities, or TRUPS, issued by banks in the United States. However, during the crisis, these instruments did not perform the way investors expected them to perform due to the interest deferability feature. So as of May 2010, these type of securities are no longer counted as Tier 1 capital. Today, there is really no other source of capital other than subordinated debt. As a result, subordinated debt has really become the capital instrument of choice for community banks. As for the structure of subordinated debt, the most popular structure is a 10-year non-call 5 fixed-to-floating structure. What that means is the note has a 10-year final maturity, it's callable in 5 years at the bank's option, and at the 5-year anniversary, the rate converts from a fixed rate to a floating rate with a spread over 3-month LIBOR. However, it should be noted that the subordinated debt keeps its full Tier 2 capital treatment as long as the outstanding maturity is greater than 5 years. When there's less than 5 years to maturity, the instrument begins to lose its capital eligibility, with 1/5 of its eligibility amortizing each year in the final 5 years. This is the reason the bank has the option to call the issuance with 5 years remaining. This loss of capital treatment also significantly affects the bank's likelihood to call the deal, as there could be scenarios where the bank calls the deal to reissue at a wider spread.
How do you expect deregulation to impact the opportunity?
We do expect deregulation to be a key theme of the new presidency, but in our mind, the changes in regulation will be accretive to us as community bank debt investors. Most of the focus of bank deregulation has been centered around Dodd-Frank, which has significantly increased the cost of doing business, especially as it pertains to community banks. The excessive compliance, risk, and legal costs of Dodd-Frank have stifled the profit generation potential of community banks. Relaxing some of these constraints will improve community banks' ability to generate profits, which improves the credit profile of these banks. What we do not expect to happen is the U.S. to decide to stray away from the Basel International Accord on regulatory capital requirements. Even under a Trump presidency, we do not envision a scenario where the political powers that be decide to give U.S. banks the ability to have more leverage and take on riskier assets than the rest of the world, and thus think it will be unlikely for the U.S. to move away from the requirements of the Basel Accord.
What differentiates the Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund from its peer group, and how should investors think about the fund?
The Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund has a high proportion of investment-grade assets, and thus, when judged against the Bloomberg Barclays Investment Grade Corporate Bond Index, we think it shows a compelling risk-return profile. One key feature is the high income. The Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund currently has a 30-day SEC yield of 4.85% as of March 31st, as opposed to 3.3% for the Bloomberg Barclays Investment Grade Corporate Bond Index. Also, our fund has a lower duration, 2.7 years, as opposed to 7.3 of the Bloomberg Barclays IG Corporate Bond Index. Further to that point, not only are we well-positioned from a lower duration perspective, but fundamentally, banks will perform in a rising rate environment with their net interest margins increasing and their credit profile improving. We believe a key differentiating factor of the Angel Oak Flexible Income Fund is that we seek to benefit from continued strength in the banking market.
Naveed, thank you for your time today. We look forward to speaking with everyone again soon.
Definitions and disclosures. Correlation, a statistical measure of how two securities move in relation to one another. Duration, measures a portfolio's sensitivity to the changes in interest rates. Generally, the longer the effective duration, the greater the price change relative to interest rate movements. Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate Bond Index. The Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate Bond Index measures the investment-grade, fixed-rate, taxable corporate bond market. It includes U.S. dollar-denominated securities publicly issued by U.S. and non-U.S. industrial, utility, and financial issuers. Bond ratings are grades given to the bonds to indicate their credit quality as determined by a private independent rating service such as Standard & Poor's. The firm evaluates a bond issuer's financial strength or its ability to pay a bond's principal and interest in a timely fashion. Ratings are expressed as letters ranging from AAA, which is the highest grade, to D, which is the lowest grade. In limited situations when a rating agency has not issued a formal rating, the advisor will classify the security as non-rated. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Principal loss is possible. The fund can make short sales of securities, which involves the risk that losses in securities may exceed the original amount invested. The fund may use leverage, which may exaggerate the effect of any increase or decrease in the value of the securities in the fund's portfolio on the fund's net asset value and therefore may increase the volatility of the fund. Investments in foreign securities involve greater volatility and political, economic, and currency risks and the differences in accounting methods. These risks are increased for emerging markets. Investments in fixed income instruments typically decrease in value when the interest rate rises. Derivatives involve risks different from and, in certain cases, greater than the risks presented by more traditional investments. Investment in asset-backed and mortgage-backed securities include additional risks that investors should be aware of, such as credit risk, prepayment risk, possible illiquidity, and default, as well as increased susceptibility to adverse economic developments. Investments in the fund in lower-rated and non-rated securities present a greater risk of loss to principal and interest than higher-rated securities. The fund is non-diversified, so it may be more susceptible to being adversely affected by a single corporate, economic, political, or regulatory occurrence than a diversified fund. The fund will incur higher and duplicative costs when it invests in mutual funds, ETFs, and other investment companies. There is also the risk that the fund may suffer losses due to the investment practices of the underlying funds. For more information on these risks and other risks of the fund, please see the prospectus. No investment strategy, including a total return strategy, can ensure a profit or protect against loss. Additionally, investing in a total return strategy may result in underperformance during a bull market. The fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses must be carefully considered before investing. The statutory prospectus and summary prospectus contain this and other important information about the investment company, and it may be obtained by calling 855-751-4324 or visiting www.angeloakcapital.com. Read it carefully before investing. The Angel Oak funds are distributed by Quasar Distributors, LLC.